Welcome to What Haunts Ireland. Today we are going to be talking about Flow Story because it represents a great theme in Irish culture. But don't let me spoil it for you yet. Let's go over to Brooke, who has some quotes from Ireland for us to get us in the Irish mood, since our ghost choir theme song obviously just got us into the ghost theme. Brooke, what have you have for us?
So today I thought it would be good to choose the quote that simply says, "A good laugh and a long sleep are the two best cures," because our lovely ghost story that Flo is going to present today ties into some issues with sleeping, where it has no cure for our main character.
Oh, crap. So also Jevin's here. He hasn't said anything yet. Say hi, Jevin.
Hey, what's up?
All right, Flo, what have you got for us?
Okay, so for our very first episode of this podcast, I'm excited to tell you guys about this story. It's a short story called Squire Toby's Will, and it's written by Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu. And it's really interesting because I didn't find this out until after I finished the story, but I did some research on him, and I found his information on the Encyclopedia of World Biography online. And I was just in shock when I read this, but at the same time, it makes sense. But he's known as the father of the English ghost story.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So apparently, like, I mean, I could tell, but he is really good at what he does. Like, this story was super spooky. And, yeah.
So like, he's the father of the English ghost story, but, like, is he Irish? Like, where is he from?
He's Irish, yeah. He was born, I believe, in Dublin. Is that how you
Dublin.
Say it?
Dublin.
Dublin, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he was born there, and that's actually where he died as well. So, yeah, he is Irish through and through. But, yeah, he was just described as the father of the English ghost story. But, no, it was a very interesting read. So, basically, the story takes place on the Marston family estate. And Toby Marston was the old squire. And a squire is a man of high social standing. So basically, like, he was just known to be, like, you know, very wealthy, and his whole life was just dedicated to taking care of, like, their huge manor.
So nice.
Yeah, what a life.
So Toby has two sons. The oldest one's name is Scroop.
Scroop,
right.
Scrooby-Doo.
Scrooby-Dooby-Doo.
So Scroop is, he's the older brother, but he's described to be very ugly and dangerous. And then the younger brother, Charles, is Toby's favorite son.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's rough life for poor big man Scroop. But, but yeah, their father dies, and the two sons care more about who gets the house now. Like, they don't even attend their own father's funeral. They just go at this feud for years on who gets the house.
Wow.
So eventually, like, after a bunch of, like, meetings with lawyers and everything, Charles is the one who gets the house because it was very clear that he was Toby's favorite.
Toby the father?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
Bobby. Yeah. So Charles gets the estate, and he knows that he took this thing from his brother, but he doesn't really care. Like, the property is his, and he just goes on living his life. So one day he's out with the butler, Tom Cooper, and they're outside, and they see this dog just roaming around on the property.
Aww.
And he's described as a bulldog with, like, kind of a big head, and I think it said that his whole body was white, but only his head was black.
Ominous.
Right. I don't know, I'm pretty into, I love bulldogs.
I don't know.
Are you gonna ruin bulldogs for me?
Possibly, yeah.
Shoot.
Well, anyways, Charles comes up to the dog, and, you know, the dog is being all cute and stuff, so he decides to adopt him. However, the butler, Mr. Cooper, is very skeptical of this dog, and for whatever reason, he thinks that it's a witch. But Charles says, like, I don't care, I'm keeping him. So he keeps the dog, and while the dog is in the house, it starts acting really strangely. Like, it's growling at night, and it moves really aggressively. So they keep it in, like, the gun room. So Charles starts having these nightmares about the dog, and every night he goes to sleep and he hears like the distinct sound of the paws like clicking against the hardwood floors, and he sees like the shadow of the dog come into his room, and he sees these like glowing green eyes just staring at him.
Green.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know, because you know, like in normally in scary stories, I feel like the eyes are like red.
Yeah.
Something's feels.
It's one
feels,
of the two just, I've noticed.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
It's just me then. I was just thinking, wow, Ireland really makes everything
yeah.
green.
Yeah.
Maybe that's probably just a stereotype. But anyway.
It's not just Ireland. Like, I've noticed it happens in Disney movies too. Like, whenever you see the color green, that's when evil is detected or it's
present. Oh, that's
present.
So cool.
But, so during these dreams, like, he sees those green eyes just staring at him. And like the neck of the dog starts becoming more and more like it's longer, and the head is growing bigger, and it just morphs into this beast, and it's terrifying. And then this weird monster just gets closer to him, and he screams himself awake every time.
I would.
Well, at first it's like only the dreams that the dog seems like really scary, but then like in real life he starts acting more and more aggressive, and Charles decides to have the dog shot. So he orders one of his servants to shoot the dog, and it was difficult, but they did it, and the dog is dead. And after that, Charles starts to move on a little bit, but then he finds these letters from his father in the house. And he finds out that his father left the house and the land for Scroope. So, at this point in the story, Charles decides to destroy those letters, and they cause new nightmares for him. So, the dog is dead, but in these dreams, he sees his father Toby and his brother Scroope, and they're shaking the bed like super violently, and Scroope in particular is threatening to hang him. And then
hang him.
Yeah. And then Toby, his father, turns into that dog beast that I mentioned before. So super terrifying nightmares that are just messing with his sleep at night. And then after a while, Charlie actually becomes sick, and he's got such a bad fever that he's delirious. But he is still terrified from these nightmares, so he asks Cooper, the butler, to stay with him, and the rest of the servants try and help him through this illness as well. But the story starts to take a turn because Cooper and the other servants start seeing ghosts. Like, they see shadowy figures all over the house, and they're hearing voices. One of the servants was saying that, like, she would hear these voices, and she understood what they would say, but after a minute or two, like, she just forgot. And it's kind of like when you have a dream and you see everything so vividly, but then you wake up and you're like, wait, what happened?
So where is Scroope during all of this? Does he still live at the estate, or has he just kind of vanished?
He kind of vanished. Like, he never really comes back.
Okay. Or was he there the entire time?
That's what I want to know, because, like, you really don't know. Like, it's a psychological horror, so you don't know, like, what's real and what's not. And he may or may not have been there towards the end of the story, because after, like, these servants start seeing the ghosts and everything, Charlie warns one of his servants, saying, like, look, there is, at night, this large humpback man, and he's wearing gloves, and he's gonna look in the door and beckon you. And he tells her, just don't be scared of him. If he gets angry, just leave him alone. He will wait for you to let him in, or he'll wait for you to come to him. Just leave him alone. Eventually, he'll get tired and leave. Just don't go after him, and don't let him in. And that night, there's a candle burning, and Cooper sees the flame creating these shadows that look like the man that they warned them about. So the man has a long neck and a long, sharp nose, and the shadow morphs into Scroope. And Cooper hears those voices that I mentioned earlier. So he runs to his master's room. He runs to Charlie's room and locks the door behind him. And Master Charlie still has his fever, and he just, like, he gets away from the man, and it's okay, but
they sleep in that same room that night. And then the following morning, Cooper gets up and he sees that Master Charles is out of bed and he's just gone. So he goes all over the house looking for him and he can't find him anywhere. So he comes to the realization that he must have gotten up in the middle of the night and left in his nightgown and slippers. So he keeps looking and eventually he finds Charles' body in a closet. And it's cold and he's been dead for some time. And he sees that his cravat is tied tight around his throat. And that's just where the story ends.
Wait. It just ends? Do we ever find out what... Does it ever explain what the voices were saying?
No. No, it doesn't really explain any of that, but it just says in the end that, Cooper found his master's body, and the jury looked into it and pronounced that the deceased, Charles Marston, had died by his own hand in a state of temporary insanity. But Cooper has his own theory, and he never says or talks about it with anyone.
Dang,
but
Cooper.
Does he think Scroop came and, like, murdered his brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he never actually says. And here's the problem with that. Because I was with Cooper the entire time. I was like, he is loyal. He killed that dog. He literally had a sleepover for, like, ever in his master's bedroom. He found the body. And then at the end, he just does us a dirty by, like, not telling us what his theory was.
Yeah.
But also, isn't a cravat, like...
It's like a fancier tie. It tucks into, like, an open-collared shirt.
So what? They just think he just, like...
They think just, he, like, hung himself.
But, like,
so was he in his nightgown, but he grabbed his cravat, went to the closet, and just, like,
he literally
tied it super tight.
And it's, like, fancy, right?
Yeah, it's usually, like silk or something like that.
So he literally hung himself with his own, like, money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Jevin?
That's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting thought, just because as we will see in later episodes, I've seen these financial conflicts coming up in other Irish stories. And I just think that you can find that plaguing this culture often in this literature.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Do you guys want to hear some of the story?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit of the writing.
All right. So this is the part where he's having the nightmare about the dog. In his nightmare, the room seemed all but dark. He heard what he knew to be the dog walking from the door round his bed slowly, to the side from which he always had come upon it. A portion of the room was uncarpeted, and he said he distinctly heard the peculiar tread of a dog, in which the faint clatter of the claws is audible. It was a light, stealthy step, but at every tread the whole room shook heavily. He felt something place itself at the foot of his bed and saw a pair of green eyes staring at him in the dark, from which he could not remove his own.
Oh.
Nope.
Then he heard, as he thought, the old Squire Toby say, The 11th hour be past, Charlie, and ye've done nothing. You and I ha' done Scroop a wrong. And then came a good deal more, and then, the time's nigh up. It's going to strike. And with a long, low growl, the thing began to creep up on his feet. The growl continued, and he saw the reflection of the upturned green eyes upon the bedclothes. Saw the reflection of the upturned green eyes as it began slowly to stretch itself up his body towards his face. With a loud scream, he waked. The light, which of late the squire was accustomed to have in his bedroom, had accidentally gone out. He was afraid to get up, or even to look about the room for some time. So sure did he feel of seeing the green eyes in the dark fixed on him from some corner.
And when was this written again?
This story was written... Let me see. It probably says on the cover here. No, I don't know. I think it is an older story. Joseph Lefanu was... born in 1814 and he died in 1873.
Yeah, so it's gonna be probably Victorian.
Yeah, it's a Victorian ghost story.
Yeah, I can hear that in the writing. Mm-hmm. It's almost wordy. I mean, not to a point of, you know, annoyance or anything, but mm-hmm. you can hear, you know, him repeating green eyes, green eyes, green eyes again and again.
Yeah.
I feel like if one were to read that outside of here, one could guess that it was Victorian.
Mm-hmm. What was the sentence where it was talking about the sound of the, like, of the footsteps of the dog? There was so much alliteration in there that you could hear it. Like, both Brooke and I...
Yeah, like, the clatter of the claws.
Yeah, we shivered when we were reading about the claws clicking across the floor.
Yeah, this is why it makes sense that he was, like, the father of the English ghost story, because, like, that's... Like, it's creepy, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. And with, like, European ghost stories, whether it be Irish or English, a lot of the themes are more rooted in, like, human error, but also, like, really dark and with unexplainable things. Like, you think of, like, the English Tower and how it's haunted, but never really explained why. Like, I feel like the story never explained where, mm-hmm. if there were ghosts, or if it was just, like, a Scooby-Doo type scenario where Scoop was, like, in a mask whispering to maybe all of the people mm-hmm. who worked for him were in on it. Like, it never explains, and I think that's why it is so terrifying, because we are left as confused, I think, as Charles was when he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I mean, I see a lot of, like, what you're mentioning, like, even in, like, modern American, like, you know, horror novels, like, especially, like, The Haunting of Hill House, where you're never sure if any of it's actually happening, mm-hmm. or if Eleanor is imagining all of it, which, you know, I saw Charles in that very similar role. Like, you know, mm-hmm. eventually by the end, he's delirious with fever, so... Yeah. How is he to be sure what's happening?
It's almost as if, the author is trying to disorient the reader as much as the characters themselves. It's interesting.
It is. Yeah.
And that's what I love about psychological horror, is that that's what makes it so scary, is that you can't tell what's real and what the character is imagining. So that's what makes you want to know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that confusion, because it's just so entertaining.
Yes, like, it drives you through the story, because you keep thinking maybe you'll get that explanation.
Yeah.
But it just never comes.
Yeah, I feel like I have an itch I can't reach.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, it looks like that's all the time we have today. Join us for episode 2, where we will talk with Ashley about her grandfather and her Irish background.
Yes.
All right, let's close this episode with the little ghost choir.
Heck yeah, my favorite part.
We love the ghost choir.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.